You're listening to the Vegans Explore Network, found at vegansexplore.com.
Followed your journey for a while, and one of the big things, one of the biggest takeaways that I received from you was the pushback that a lot of these doctors are receiving once they go to these conferences, they go to the courses, they eventually will read this book. Now they take that information, they go back to the head of the ER, the head of the hospital, or the people that will be able to help put these things into motion. Having that pushback, having not being as receptive as they should be given the research and the information and the facts that are out there. So someone that's out there right now who may be interested, maybe on board with the research and the knowledge that you're giving them, what advice would you have to them to present this information to their board, to their hospital?
Oh, Sean, that is such a perceptive and important question. And like many projects that one undertakes, you got to be a bit of an artist to decide your approach. And it's certainly true here. This is a huge battle. It's not going to be won overnight, to say the least. And so I tell my medical colleagues and the medical students, you know, pick your battles. Start with the ones that you know that you can win. Start, first of all, with your own patients. First, start with your own life. If you're not already plant-based, then jump on the plant-based train, as they say, boots in. You know, so give yourself a good 3-4 week trial if you're not already vegan. Give yourself 3 or 4 weeks of a whole plant diet every day. Lots of oatmeal and fruits for breakfast, and a steady stream of colorful salads, hearty vegetable soups, plates of steamed green and yellow vegetables, hearty entrees like bean chilies and lentil stews, and bean burritos and vegetable curries and pasta primaveras. There's so much wonderful food in the plant-based cuisine, lots of fruit for dessert. If you haven't started on this nutritional path yourself, do that first of all. It will first certainly benefit your health, but it'll give that authority in your voice when you talk to your patients. This is real science here. This is not California woo-woo stuff. There's solid science behind why a plant-based diet creates these profound healing changes in the body. So start with yourself. If you've already taken that step, if you've been vegan for a while in your diet, then start educating your patients. Make out some handouts, things you really want them to learn, because they're the most important part of your practice here is your patients. At the end of my book, Moving Medicine Forward, we've got resources there that you can print out and give your patients a handout, lots of books and websites they can check out. The word doctor comes from the same Latin root as doctrine, as teacher, and we're really teachers. So be a teacher. Certainly share in your office visits your experience with your patients. But I've got many colleagues who use the waiting room area in their medical office in the evening as a teaching kitchen. And they'll set up a couple of tables and plug in some blenders and hot plates and show their patients for free how to make salad dressings, how to make smoothies, how to make delicious sauces, etc. And then put the food in their mouth. A taste is worth 1,000 words. You'll change somebody's life when you hear those wonderful words. You give them some tofu lasagna and they say, if that's plant-based food, I could eat that. You change their lives with that. So start with yourself, then move on to your patients. And that's all you really need to do. And it will grow from there. If once or twice a month you have a teaching afternoon or teaching evening, the word will get around and your patients will benefit. But then start expanding. Have a look in your hospital. If you are hospital associated, is there a fast food restaurant in the lobby? You got a McDonald's or a Burger King in the lobby? Probably that doesn't send the greatest message to the public. So you might want to go talk to the administration and ask about the reality, because many hospitals have eschewed, rejected fast food restaurants in the lobby. But before you, but that can be a bit of a political battle because the hospital's making money off the fast food restaurant. But go to the dietary department and see what foods are being served in the cafeteria, in the hospital cafeteria. Is there at least one healthy plant-based entree on the cafeteria line every day? And if not, so why don't you suggest that to the dietitian? And you start get the plant-based idea going in the hospital dietary department. Then look at the menus. Are the food being sent up to the inpatients that are in the hospital? Are you serving corned beef sandwiches to the patients who've just had heart attacks? Are the meals truly health enhancing? In New York City, the 11 hospitals the city runs now, a plant-based entree is the default dinner option. That patients get. They get, unless they choose a meat-based option, they get a plant-based option. That's how much progress can be made. So start, pick your battles, start with the small steps that you can win, and soon the word will get around. Your colleagues will start supporting you. So don't have to make a big inflammatory statement in the middle of a grand rounds meeting there. But again, become a good teacher and spread out from there. And you find, because it's easier nowadays, the plant-based idea is not so alien and foreign anymore. And you'll find that this process hopefully will be easier than you think.
And staying on the line of the doctors stepping into the profession, especially the early in the early years, going through school, one thing I heard, and I don't know if it's changed, and I wanted to find out from you, nutrition being a staple in their education. I heard that they don't get, I don't forget what the number was, but there was a small, like 1 hour, or a small amount of time for nutrition to be a part of their learning. Has that changed? Do you want to go a little bit into that? And why is it important that they do have a foundation when it comes to nutrition?
That ultimately is the key to the whole issue. It's why I wrote the book. It's why we're doing what we're doing, because the main emotion that I feel these days when I tell people that I'm a physician is embarrassment, because of this stunning, this jaw-dropping black hole of ignorance that sits in the middle of Western medical practice when it comes to the effect of our patients' diet on these diseases and the bodies that they bring to us to fix. It's stunning. We spend 4 years in medical school learning a lot of science and pharmacology, anatomy, biochemistry, but when it comes to nutrition, that's sissy stuff. It doesn't matter what patients eat. Besides, it's cultural. I'm not going to tell a Hispanic patient or a South Indian patient what they ought to be eating. So nutrition is never even mentioned. And it's a great tragedy of Western medicine, because of course that's why the patient's sitting in front of us with a body that's overweight, hypertensive, atherosclerotic, diabetic, and inflamed from what they're running through their bloodstream every 4 hours. It's the food, it's the food, it's the food. And yet we ignore this. It's an embarrassment already. And the plaintive plea that I hear, why doesn't my doctor know anything about nutrition? Again, we're not taught about it in medical school. It's not respected as a science. And ironically, the surgeons say that's sissy stuff. Well, I'm up in the operating room doing real medicine. But what are you doing in that operating room, doctor? You're dealing with the infections and the infarctions and the amputations from what your patients are eating. These are all dealing with nutrition-based diseases that could largely be reversed in the outpatient clinic with a whole food plant-based diet. So, so we're not taught about nutrition. It's not respected. And there's so many forces of inertia to keep things the way they are. The meat and dairy industry give huge grants to the medical schools, and they have sway when it comes to the courses being taught. the hospitals making lots of money from coronary artery bypasses and stents, they're not really open to a diet and lifestyle that could reduce the number of money-making procedures that they are conducting on a daily basis. So there's lots of reasons that, oh, we don't want to hear about this nutrition stuff. Unproven. And it's a difficult science to come to definitive answers on. Health is such a complex phenomenon. The body is so complex. And then we all know people who've lived to their 90s and beyond eating meat every day and drinking whiskey, etc. And the body, depending on the genetics, can have tremendous resiliency despite the insults we inflict upon it. And so there's lots of reasons that people can, especially the medical establishment, can find for not opening up that nutrition box. They're uncomfortable. Often the doctors are eating the same foods themselves. They're overweight. They've got high blood pressure. They don't feel competent in talking to their patients about nutrition. So there's a whole panoply of reasons why nutrition isn't taught, and it becomes self-perpetuating because it's not taught. We don't know anything about it. Then we just don't mention it. And it's easier to write a prescription, take these pills, than get to the root of the problem. So it's a massive undertaking to try and change medicine's approach to nutrition. But at this stage, knowing what we know, we have no other choice. It's the food. We are treating nutrition-based toxicities with medications. It doesn't match. That's not what the problem is. And the beauty is when you get people on a whole food plant-based diet to see the body transform. The weight comes down, the arteries open up, the blood pressure comes down. It's an anti-inflammatory diet. The joints stop hurting, the lungs stop wheezing, the skin clears up. It's the most exciting transformation in medicine. And part of the reason for the book is to bring these exciting changes within the grasp of doctors and patients. So a lot of inertia to overcome, but we have no choice. And every individual doctor and every individual patient can play a role in this transition till it becomes widely accepted. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book.